Believe in yourself, believe in your body. Rock, 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 it's the self-esteem party.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special episode of Self-Esteem Party. I'm your host, Alana Johnson, and with me, as always, is producer slash husband slash roommate, Norm Sousa, who's already got a big smile on his face.
I just want it's like very special. You won't even... It's not that special.
Yes, it is. First of all, Norm, don't you dare slander the podcast. It is a very special episode. We had spent weeks talking about the BugCon event that we went to about a month ago, and we are finally releasing that episode. It's our very first live taping.
You weren't gonna.
I wasn't going to, but it's our very first live taping. It's a listener Q&A. Some of you wrote in questions in advance. Some of them are from the audience members at BugCon. We have special guests. The panel is you, me, Jack Allison, Kate Raft.
Right.
And it's a great episode.
And if you were at BugCon, you've heard it.
If you were at BugCon, you've heard it. Listen again. We need the numbers. And leave a review.
Yeah. Did you listen to it? Is everything okay?
I did listen to it. It's okay. Everybody sounds clear. Obviously, it's live. You can tell. But it's like, it's good.
I recall, I don't know if you edited it out, but I did slander the show New Amsterdam.
We did not edit that out.
And the show Bull.
We did not edit that out.
Listen, if you're an actor and you work for either Bull or New Amsterdam, congrats. It's what a gig.
I'm going to go ahead and say, get a life.
You told me to remind you to tell the audience about the podcast award.
Yes. I forgot to mention this last week. Self-Esteem Party is the official winner of the Health and Wellness Canadian Podcast Award. We're very excited. Yes. Thank you to the Sonar Network, otherwise known as The NAR, for all your support.
Are we still calling it The NAR?
Oh, yeah. I didn't stop. For all your support, to Michael Mariana, I really appreciate working with you guys, and we did it. We made it. I love it. The NAR. But I forgot to relay that very exciting news, and here we are.
Congrats.
Thank you so much.
What did you win again? What?
Health and wellness category.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's what this is.
That's what this is. We get on the podcast, we work out, we get out.
I say how miserable I am, we move on.
We move on immediately.
And some people might need a primer of what BugCon is, but unfortunately, I don't really know.
We don't know. Again, this is my third year participating in it and still don't know what it is, but it was very fun.
Yeah, it's like an inside joke wrapped in a prank that's like also legitimately a good fun thing.
Yeah, a bit of a cult following.
It's, you know,
it's amazing.
Everyone was super cool. I think we talked about it already. Like the Mitch being in that the Tomorrow War bit was super funny.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you weren't at BugCon or you don't know what BugCon is, I think you can still listen to this episode just fine.
Yeah, well, we address questions about self-esteem, we give advice, and it was great. And thank you to everybody that wrote in. We really appreciate it. Hopefully, we got to all the questions.
You should get more, or you should do a podcast where you answer the questions that you didn't answer at BugCon.
Yes, because I think I still have like 8 of them left over that people wrote in, and we can do it again. It is something we're going to do again, because it was really fun, and it was fun to have special guests help us out.
I think so.
Shall we get to it?
I think we should. It's, you know, come on. Let's just do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome this week's special guest, the listener, right after this break.
Also, Jack was there. And
okay, but I already said them. But the special guest is the listener. So, right after this break.
It's a self-esteem party. It's a self-esteem party.
BugCon 2021. Please take your seats as we welcome our next panel, the Self-Esteem Party with Alana Johnston.
Okay, great. Hi, everybody. You all know me, and if you don't, rude. I'm Alana Johnston. This is my big panel. Thank you. Welcome to the Self-Esteem Party. Which is a podcast that I do, a weekly podcast, but I don't do it alone, you know, because when it comes to self-esteem, sometimes you need a pal or a mandatory husband. Please give it up for producer slash husband slash roommate, Norm Sousa! Norm, thank you so much for reluctantly being here.
Hey, how are
always.
You?
I'm good. Same as when I was home earlier. So.
I drove you here, yes. And I feel like you wanted me to come and pick you up and then drive you home and then drive you back again, and I said no.
And it ended up working out. I jumped on a bunch of other panels and podcasts and what have you and made some friends along the way. Couple of pals, couple of enemies. Okay, so we're doing something very special today.
Okay.
And we have some guests helping us. I blasted out on Twitter and old Instagram that we're doing a Q&A today, an audience Q&A with all questions in regards to self-esteem or any advice that anybody needs. And that goes for everybody that's here. You can ask a question at any time. Throw your hand up.
Come
on
up.
Or you can come. You literally can come up. That's fine.
You solicited questions online first.
Yes. So these are the DM questions that I have, and then we'll take some live ones as well. Don't be shy. And if you are going to be shy, exit the room. Okay. Here we go. to help us today, we have Jack Allison and Kate Raff. Bring them up. Everyone gets their own entrance from wherever you want.
From all angles.
Your own entrance.
Doesn't matter from where.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, we crawl out from everywhere.
We really do.
We just crawl out from everywhere.
We're just a couple creepy crawlers.
Yeah.
A couple creepy crawlers,
hey,
why not?
Does somebody here drive a Hyundai Santa Fe with the license plate Bug? No. I was on the highway driving here up the 5, and someone had a license plate.
Wow.
And it was Bug 973 or something. And I was like, they have to be They got off at the same exit, but
wow.
They didn't.
Wow. What are the odds of that?
They didn't pull into the Marriott. And I was like, what the fuck's going on here? Anyway.
Outrageous. Yeah. I want to thank everybody tuning in online as well. Is that it virtually?
Hi.
Yeah? Is that you guys?
No.
Oh, yeah, okay. We got it. Yeah, okay.
That's
we can see.
A murderer's mugshot at the top.
what does that mean? Research sleeves tweet.
Yeah.
That is our audience. That's the target audience.
Is that an Oklahoma City bomber? Like, what the fuck?
Oh, there they are. Yeah, we got
them.
Okay, cool.
Fantastic.
Hey.
So before we get started on the old advice, let's get started on us. We're going to go down the line, and on a scale of 1 to 10, in terms of self-esteem, how's everybody feeling today, Norm?
Well, we recorded a podcast earlier today,
and
my number is the exact same, and that's a 5.
Always.
Not good, not bad.
Okay. Jack?
Well, Anna, to be honest with you, you know, I've cultivated approximately 50 fans, and we held an event this weekend where they all came. So I'm feeling fairly good. I'm feeling pretty good, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Okay, what was your okay? Yes, that's fun.
Now I'm a 6.
Wait, what? So if you had to put a number on it, what would
I think
be?
I have 50 fans
so
in the whole world.
You're 50 out of 10 because
wow.
You're one per fan. That's fantastic.
Wow.
Okay, Kate, where are we at?
I'm at a. I would say I would be at a 10, but I'm at a 9 because I'm a little tired.
You know, the thing about fatigue is sometimes it makes you feel bad about yourself, but you have to remember, your tiredness is not you.
Wow.
Wow.
And more where that came from. Let's get to it.
Let's take a nap.
Okay. I'll kick it off. And if anybody, you know, wants to jump in and answer them or give the advice, let me know.
These are online questions that you solicited on Twitter,
right? These are the online Twitter questions. Here
we
go. Okay. Here's a classic. How do you build yourself back up after a performance that felt embarrassing? Okay. I'll start on this one. I don't because I never have had an embarrassing performance. So I would just say my advice would be do better.
Oh my God.
So that you don't find yourself in this predicament.
Take some improv classes. You know, take a couple improv classes.
After you bombed, then take the couple of classes.
Drop like 10K at UCB.
Norm, what would you say? Bad performance.
How do you build yourself back up after a performance that felt embarrassing?
Yeah, you know what? It's not even bad. It's embarrassing. Like your pants could have fallen down or something like that, right?
You could have been singing perfectly and your belt just popped.
And the belt is
And your heart patterned underwear was for everyone to see.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Embarrassment is like what happened, you know? Like that's the tough part. Like
yeah.
if it depends on how embarrassed is your I don't know. So, you know, I have a friend, Cole, and his dad is like a pretty strict like police officer. And he like for the first time came to see him perform. And there was a scene where he like aggressively makes out with another cast member who's a guy. Not that it like it didn't really make it. We didn't think anything of, obviously. But his dad was like devastated by it.
Oh my God.
And
God.
He was very embarrassed about it after. But like, and then a couple days passed and he was just like, well, what the fuck does he know? You know what I mean?
Really?
He's a dumbass dad who's a shit ass cop. Like, fuck it.
So that would the be most the embarrassing advice. Job you know, of all time.
I think that that's an interesting point, Norm, because, you know, if you're asking about why, you know, how do I feel better after an embarrassing performance? You know, a lot of that depends on what was embarrassing about the performance. You know, if you did something that was, you know, that you think was not embarrassing and you feel you stand by it, then, you know, then stand by your work. You know what I mean?
Embarrassing or, to who?
Yeah, like Bug Con.
Well, but honestly, also, you know, if you've done work that you think is bad, like at least you have the taste to know that what you did was bad and maybe you'll do better. Like, just work harder and you can do better stuff. Like, who gives a shit? Put stuff out. Truly, my real advice is stop caring about any performance and make it all shit. Who cares?
Okay, the panel's not done. The panel's not done, Jack. Let's wait on this one.
I want to say it's actually good advice. I think, like, when it comes to performing, quantity is better than quality, and the more you perform, the better you'll get anyway. So just keep going, like do it a ton and do it bad for like 10 years, and then on the 11th year, you might be okay.
I'm not joking when I say, like, make bad stuff, because not that you're seeking out to make bad stuff, but allow yourself to make bad stuff.
Get it out of your system.
Allow yourself to make bad stuff. The more bad stuff you make, the closer thing you get to a good thing. Truly is actually how I feel about
it. Well, yeah, and if you're I guess it matters if you yourself are embarrassed. Like,
right.
If you feel like embarrassed because of what other people are thinking about what happened, that's kind of insane. If you personally feel embarrassed, the way to build yourself back up is to prepare more. Yeah. You know what I mean? To like
do more stuff.
Yes. I don't know. That's my advice.
So I guess the advice is keep going.
Try harder.
Yeah. Or be the
do
best.
Another embarrassing performance is actually my advice. Keep
everybody
doing
does
keep
embarrassing,
doing embarrassing
things,
performances.
Right?
Okay, let's keep it moving. First of all, we'll keep checking back with the audience. You guys are priority. Any questions?
Priority.
Advice needed? Anything?
Oh,
please fire away.
Yeah.
Okay.
Person has asked that he derives a lot of self-worth from their work and wants to know how to turn that off. I just want to make sure the stream.
Good
can
point.
Hear.
You're right.
Oh,
because,
wow.
I forgot. Yeah, we're recording. Drugs. I'll stick by my answer of drugs. Could be prescription. Could be recreational.
Yes.
Coffee's a type of drug. You need to perk yourself back up. But drugs. They can really relax you or rev you up when you need them. I love drugs.
Yeah, and also, like, you know, the thing that you're doing is temporary too, right? So, like, if you think about it that way, where it's like, of course, the thing that you're doing that, let's say you succeed and you feel good about it and it's a positive thing, like, that's great, but long term, like, what you do isn't who you are. You know what I mean? Like, it changes constantly, you know? Like, we talk about this a lot because, like, coming from Canada, we have different personalities, friend groups, our perception is different. And when we came here, it's completely different. So, like, everything that I was embarrassed or proud of or all of that stuff only exists there. And, and when I left, how I left and the perceptions of me stayed there. So now when I go back, like, 5 years later, how long have I been here? 7 years? 5 years? What?
Six.
Six
right
years,
in the
whatever.
Middle.
Everyone, when I go back, it's like my stamp hasn't aged at all. You know, like, it exists there. So everyone's like, oh, Norm, the guy who does this and this and this. And now I've spent, you know, 6 years here. I'm a completely different person. So the things that I did before didn't really matter, you know? Like,
so anything can change. So why hang on?
Yeah. Yeah. What you do is going to change. So I wouldn't put too much stock in it.
Okay.
I would honestly suggest playing video games. They get you a lot of the same sense of accomplishment, and they're far more accomplishable. And you know, if you're caring about work that's for a boss, your boss is never fucking gonna care about you or respect you. So it's not worth putting in like the thought to something like that. But if you're doing stuff for yourself, it is good to do that. But you can fall into like a manic state and work too hard on things too. So I would say to take up a couple video games is all.
Yeah, I think if you're passionate about something and you want to work on it, even that can be a great thing, but you've got to rest. Like, you have to, like, you can't always
even
have
a, God himself took a day.
Even God himself. you've got to fuel yourself. You can't, the output can't be constant. And I think we live in a world that makes you think that it has to be constant.
Right.
Because, like, it's so go, go, go. Like,
yeah.
But that's fake and not real.
Mm-hmm.
Take a nap.
I'll learn a little from Rip Van Winkle. We really could.
Is that your friend?
That's a fellow who took a nap under a tree.
Okay, here we go. Do you have any mantras or affirmations you write on your mirror or say aloud or journal to boost self-esteem? And Jack, you can go ahead and get that call.
It's from Burbank, so
pick it up.
Yeah, answer it.
They're shutting us down. That's the president of Burbank.
Okay.
I'm so curious about who's calling from Burbank.
I know. I'm on pins and needles.
We'll keep going. Okay, Kate. Yeah. Any mantras or affirmations?
Oh, my God.
Do you journal, write them in a mirror, anything like that?
Okay, mantras or affirmations. Oh, Jack says they're all good. We're all good. Okay. What was it, Jack?
The president of Burbank has spoken.
You're going to be furious about this. They thought we hadn't checked out of the room yet, so they haven't gone in to clean it. So you could have been napping in there like all day. But I told them we're out.
What the fuck?
Really? The president got involved with this? Wow. Okay, wow. Burbank. Sorry, Kate, we were talking affirmations.
Affirmations. Oh my God. I mean, I don't have like a constant one. I just like, I do like the practice of having affirmations like in general, but I don't have any like right now.
I mean, they kind of change day to day.
They kind of change day to day.
Like, I want a job. I want a job, or I'm going to get a job. And then you get the job and you're like, okay, well now what?
You know what I mean?
What else am I going
to
say?
I like to do manifesting.
Yeah.
Like, if I want something, I'll like write like a paragraph of like exactly what it looks like when I've gotten it.
All right. And how does it look for the
and
panel?
And it works because magic is real, everybody.
Because she's here. She made it to the panel.
Magic is real.
Jack, what would you say? Any?
As far as affirmations, I say to myself in the mirror, I mostly turn the lights off, say Bloody Mary 3 times.
Yeah.
I'm killed by the monster Bloody Mary, which is great.
And Jack is a ghost.
Okay, I think mine is just a classic, keep going. You know what I mean? Could be on a walk, could be keep going with doing nothing today, but keep going.
It's like keep trucking, but you just
keep going. Yeah, well, I don't have a truck, going. So I'm not going to write that down. That's stupid.
I don't write anything on the mirror.
I hope that's messy.
Don't do that.
Messy.
Don't write on my mirror.
Then you have to write it the other way. Or do you? No. I guess you don't need to do that. Yeah, how do I even red rum? Anyway, I guess I don't have a mantra. I guess like I constantly remind myself that everything is kind of relates to what the question earlier, like everything is temporary and like just move on. Like, I think moving as quickly as you can move on from something, the better.
That's good.
Which is probably not very healthy in some circumstances. Like,
yeah,
you
just
know.
Bottle it up. Push it down.
Yeah. Move the fuck on.
Yeah.
Get over it.
Yeah. It's like, you know, my mom passed away when I was in high school, and it was like, you know, I immediately moved on, and then I fucking, it just dragged for like 15 years. So like some things I guess don't, but like most things that are stupid that like cause immediate like direct stress that's like completely unnecessary, I just try to like move on as quickly as possible.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good. Move on as quickly
which
as
is kind of like keep going.
Okay,
keep going.
Anybody else feeling the connection? Wait, any audience? We'll check back in. Any audience questions? Guys, no? Okay, great. We'll keep going. All right. I need self-esteem support and advice on how to stay cool and sexy and relevant while being a father of 2 small children.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's a tough one.
I've got one.
Oh, here we go. Thank God.
Drop a single. Get your ass into the stew. Drop a single.
Hey, wow.
Drop a single.
Nothing feels better than dropping a single. Anyone can do it.
I have no follow-up. That was the perfect advice. Just to drop a single. Agree. Norm?
Yeah.
But your kids will love it.
Yeah, your kids will do something fucking wild. You know what I mean? Like, who cares?
Get a face tattoo.
Ooh, yeah.
Of your single, just
across your face. And two small children is kind of cool. Like, what's wrong? I guess it's not very sexy, but is it? I don't know.
I don't know, kind of, because it's like, oh, he's tall and he's a dad. Well,
you know,
daddy.
Having things. There's a sexy element of like having two children is proof that you've had sex.
Yeah,
it truly is.
People just
look at you. Well, I guess you're right.
Or that you found children, you're going to find things. That's a scavenger.
So I guess if you've had the children, like it conveyed that it was from when you had sex. And if you haven't had the children, then give that impression. I guess you know.
I think so.
Yeah. So look at your children and just remember that you've had sex before. So. Wait a minute. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to have sex with my wife for you guys. I'm cool as hell.
Wow, I look in your eyes and I remember I've had sex.
Wow. Wow.
Terrible.
And even if your kids came from like a test tube or someone else having sex.
Oh,
like,
yeah, that'd be terrible.
Then
something happened. Some kind of chemical reaction.
Yeah, then drop the single in that case.
Okay, this is one really relevant for today. What advice would you give us for amateurs who have not done our show for a live crowd before? Sort of like advice for first-time performers in general. Okay. Yeah, because performing live and making content online, very different things. Having an audience and not having an audience. Mm. For example, this audience right now. I could do with or without. You know what I mean? You guys are great and everything, but I'm bringing the heat. That's what I'm saying. It's like, hello. But, you know, it is important to have an audience to, I mean, I hate it to say it this way, but somewhat validate your performance and what you're doing. And I hate that that matters so much, because if all of you weren't laughing, I'd feel really bad about myself. Not an issue. A great performer. I do it right the first time. It's not an issue. But nonetheless, if that wasn't the case. But yeah, what I guess for a live show, I would say... really connect with the crowd, not necessarily about or through your material, but as a human being, because how grateful that everyone came today. I mean, this is wild.
Yeah.
I really can't believe people are here. And that's for the weekend as a whole. But any advice? What would you guys say?
Make intense eye contact with one person the whole time.
Kate, you are crushing this advice. Okay, intense eye contact.
And if you think I'm talking about you, I am. I'm looking right at you.
Engaging. See? You're like, oh, is it me? Now you're paying attention.
Every person's checking. Everyone's checking.
Jack, what would you say?
I mean, similarly to honestly what I said earlier, which is just like, don't worry so much about it and like do bad for a while.
Yeah, you're going to be bad the
first
time.
And just try to glean little insights, just any small insight about what makes you unique as a performer. And, you know, that's what you're trying to find, is like what your specific thing is. And, you know, your first time going on stage and performing, you're mostly going to be like imitating other people. And so there will maybe just be a couple little kernels of like your own voice in there, and just keep mining away at that.
I will say I did my first live show yesterday in like a year and a half, almost 2 years. And boy, was I rusty. It felt like my very first performance.
Wow.
Ever. It was, and I, I mean,
you got laughs though.
I got a couple laughs, some from me. And, but it was nerve wracking. And you're so right. It's like, if I'm so busy caring about the quality of it, it's like, you're not going to get through it. I was just like, Elena, say the lines. Just do it. Just get it out. And now that's it. The first show's done. It's out of my system. Now we can just keep improving from here, you know?
Yeah, like what's what everyone was saying. If you haven't been on stage before and you're a little nervous about it, just rip the Band-Aid off. You're going to be terrible eventually. Even if the first time you're great because your friends are there and you have all this adrenaline and you're super excited. And this happens in stand-up all the time. Stand-up goes up the first time. They're doing 3 or 4 minutes. They're doing like... basically, you know, half Bill Burr's set or whatever, and they fucking trot out and they're super excited and their friends really like it. That's cool. And then they go up again and then they suck and they're like, what the fuck? Well, it's, you know, because you do suck or whatever. Maybe they don't suck. I don't fucking know. Maybe the audience sucks, but you can even be good. You can be great for like 10 years and then just still suck, you know, sucking happens. So if you've never done it before, go and do it, but try and I guess like to get a head start, maybe don't do it in front of just your friends to see exactly where you
get
stand.
Get some strangers in there. Find some kids. Yeah. Get them in the audience, okay?
I mean, it is actually, I think about this with UCB, is I used to like the late night Friday show they would do when, because random people would just be coming in from the street. Like when shows where people would wander in from the bars, those were the shows I actually liked so much better than just the ones packed with like students who know the right, correct things to laugh at and
Mitch
shit like
knows.
That.
Mitch loves it.
Wow. Like, you know,
truly do find random people and go to weird places and perform and stuff. You know what I mean?
I agree. Keep it unconventional because put yourself to the test. Let's really see.
the ultimate test.
Start a convention. Do a fucking convention.
The ultimate test. Find a group of enemies.
Find a group of enemies.
Collect your exes and enemies and perform stand up for them.
If you can make them laugh, then you've made it.
Well, that okay, wait, we have an audience question. Go ahead.
Well, eventually Atlanta hosted it.
That's right. The Mike Mitchell of Tomorrow War asked, what show was it and who hosted it? The original answer would be Mike was one of the hosts, but the real answer, the one who killed the show, was myself. I took over and ran that show into the ground. Well, you're welcome, Matt.
They made you do it at like a fucking community center at like Thursdays at 6 p.m.
It was like
ridiculous.
Me and dodgeball. It was like, what are we doing here? Anyways.
I have a question. What the fuck are you talking about? No, what is the show you're talking
the
about?
The Not Too Shabby show.
Oh, shabby.
Oh, Not Too Shabby.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Cool.
Okay, guys, I have a doozy here.
Is this someone from Hartzler?
That was supposed to be a reveal.
Fuck,
okay,
sir.
This is...
I don't know.
This is... No, here we go. Okay. I married someone who was conning me with her entire family in order to let her dying mother see her daughter's wedding before she passed. On our honeymoon...
I'm sorry. I need you to go over
that. Say that again.
I'm going to say it's a long one.
I'd say there's a lot of qualifiers.
It's a long one. It's a long one. Here we go.
Say it again.
I'm going to say it again slowly. I married someone who was conning me with her entire family in order to let her dying mother see her daughter's wedding before she passed. First sentence.
Okay.
Here we go. On our honeymoon, she told me she was bi and poly and expected me to get her a separate apartment where she could have boyfriends and girlfriends over for sex. It took 2 years to get the marriage annulled because she refused to participate in the process. Since then, I've resolved that I'll live in solitude for the rest of my life because I can't imagine ever trusting someone again.
Oh,
is
wow.
this the right choice? I await the knife.
Oh my God.
You can, I mean, it's a loaded one.
Is that you? Did you write?
We got him!
Yeah, can you hurry up with the answer? I'm pretty fucked over here.
That's a heavy one. That's
that's heavy.
That's a lot.
What's the con? Was the mom not really dying?
No. But it's that the mom was dying, but the whole rest of the family was in
on it. To get the wedding done quick
it.
Or something? Like, it was like to get the wedding done
and
wedding
didn't tell the mom.
Something?
Yeah, just so that the dying mom could be like, my daughter's married, and then die.
Oh,
and then
weird.
The family was like, except, and then...
Like, how are you not in on that prank? You know what I mean? Like...
And why wouldn't you just ask the person? Like, if one of you asked me, will you marry me, you know, just so my mom has someone to talk to, I would do it. you know what I mean? It's like the theatrics of this.
And
of
course.
Mean, the question is that are they making the right choice by...
Being in solitude forever.
And not trusting anymore. So this is a question of trust.
You know, to be honest with you, in my opinion, you know, I actually think, you know, if you're going to be married and you really want to be married for an entire life, you need to create a context that can, like, hold all the events of an entire life. And I think being intransigent, if you're not happy about this stuff, I just would say, you know, I don't think that you were, like, tricked is what I feel like. And this is just somebody who has, like, a different thing they want to do in their life. You know what I mean? And if that doesn't work for you, then it's fine to not be in the marriage. But I hear a lot of, like, sort of accusation and anger in there. And, you know, I think that there's a, you know, this idea of what marriage is, you know, of you have to be in just one monogamous for the rest of your life or whatever is, like, you know, what people have tried for the last couple of generations, and they haven't done a very fucking good job at it. Like, all our parents are divorced and shit. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I just don't know. Like, I really, you know, I sense a lot of judgment in the question, and I'm like, you know, if that doesn't work for you, that doesn't work for you. But it's not a matter of being able to trust or not being able to trust, you know?
I think I agree with you. I think whatever lifestyle somebody wants to live is entirely fine. I think the weird part to me is the con of like
the dying
mother. Yeah. Like, it just because I'm like, are they saying that the person coming out being like, this is my preferred way of living is a con, or is it the dying mother? Like, which one's the con?
I mean, if it was a con to marry you to make the mom think that there was a marriage happening, then what the fuck do you even care about the, you know, the poly and all the rest of it?
Because
it was a con to begin with. You were doing a little joke.
I'm like, whatever. I think it's like, I would like more clarification is my answer.
I would like more clarification, but I also don't want to hear any more of it.
No, this one was a loaded one. I guess my answer would be is it right to not trust anyone again? Well, here's the thing, my friend. Do you trust yourself? Let's start there.
Wow.
You know what I mean? That's
right.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, it's weird because it's like a second apartment sounds rad. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, look, we're doing it.
Yeah, we do it. Yeah. And it's all fine.
It seems great if that's what you need. I think the only problem, like, for this person in the future, like, maybe try to get in on the con and get something for yourself. You know what I mean?
Like, get something out of it.
Be like, I actually, and while we're doing this, we have to hold the wedding at the National Museum where we're going to be taking a giant jewel. It's on display.
Something.
Yeah, like, if you're going to do a con, like, do a con.
Something for you. You know what I mean?
We can do this thing for your grandma or whatever, but I want the giant jewel, too.
Yeah.
Let's, the rock.
Let's start talking about crimes.
Okay, any audience questions before we move on to that? Yes.
Sure, yeah. Do you want to grab a mic?
Oh, yeah, good call.
Hi, so my question is, like, I just have trouble, like... Oh, sorry.
No problem.
Okay, so my question is basically, like, I have, like... I'm really good at, like, isolating myself and just being afraid to, like, ask people if they want to, like, hang out, even if it's, like, on Discord or Zoom or something, just because, like, I realized recently that I'm just afraid of the uncertainty that comes. Like, it's less the rejection itself and more like the uncertainty of, oh, are they going to say yes or are they going to say no? And it's just like, and it is like also a fear of rejection, but it's a thing. What do you think?
Thank you so much for asking that. Yeah, that's like, because that, I think that's so common, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, where I legitimately get nervous to ask friends of mine to do the podcast because I'm nervous they'll say no, or even worse, say nothing at all, right? When, like, is that not the worst? You message someone, you just don't hear back, and then you're like, oh, I messed up, and maybe they didn't get it. Who knows? There's a million different things. I would say, like, my advice, and it's not good advice or fun advice. You just have to keep asking. I mean, eventually you'll get a yes. And you got to put yourself out there, because if you don't, then it's like, who knows what's going on their end. If they're like, no one reaches out to me, or this person's not interested in talking to me anymore. It's like, we don't know what's happening. And it's like, if you have the thought to see somebody or talk to someone and you let them know that, that's going to make them feel amazing. And who doesn't want to surround themselves with that?
I love that.
That was a real answer.
Great. That was a good answer.
So I think proud of myself.
I think that, like, also, like, not taking it personally if someone can't hang. Like, people, you don't know what's going on in people's lives. Like, people have to say no to things, and you have to be like, I respect that, and, like, not take it as, like, a personal thing. But also, like, if someone really doesn't want to hang out with you, like, you should hang out with someone who wants to hang out with you.
True. Okay. Yeah,
and you're the best, Val. So there's a whole room of people.
My new friend.
There's a whole room of people here who want to hang out with you.
My new lovely friend. We made friends today. What a treat. There you go. DM me. I'm wide open. Yeah. Literally wide, as you can tell. I'm wide open.
You know what's funny about that, though? I kind of had, for a brief period of time, I had, like, the opposite problem where I, like, wouldn't go out by myself. Like, I wouldn't go to the movies by myself, or I wouldn't eat dinner by myself. And then I was, like, traveling for work, and, like, I was staying at a bunch of hotels, and I was, like, alone. And I, like, there was no one to call. But also, I was afraid to go out just alone, because I thought people would be like, what's that person doing alone? Yeah. And it's, like, it's – it took a long time. And now I love going to the movies alone. And like eating dinner alone or having a beer at a bar alone, fucking, it's the goddamn best.
It's so nice.
It really is. And yeah. And it took me a long time to get over just going out and being alone and being okay with that.
Yeah, so. Because yeah. What if you miss me? Okay.
The second apartment thing sounds great.
Desperate to get out.
Yeah, you worry, like, are people going to think I'm weird? And then you realize no one gives a shit about
you.
Nobody
cares about you.
Nobody fucking cares.
Nobody cares. About you.
Yeah, everyone's worried in their own shit. Everybody's fucking has their own shit they're thinking about. Val, I would just say, you know, I don't know, rejection's a part of life. And so, like, what's the worst case? Like, what's the worst case? You know what I mean? On the upside, maybe you get to hang out with someone. On the downside, someone has said no, and it's not the biggest deal.
Oh, somebody says no,
world.
And you're like, actually, I messaged the wrong Jason.
So that's good advice. Just say it. The thing to do is if you get the no, say I texted the wrong
Oops.
Person. Oops.
Oops, wrong text. That's a good move. That's a good move.
Oh, sorry,
everyone
wrong
used
guy.
That.
I hate you.
Okay, so this kind of goes along with what we were talking about. And a lot of the people that wrote in with these questions or wanting advice asked me not to use their names. This person foolishly did not. So this is from Joe Hartzler himself.
Boy.
I'm sorry I spoiled that.
I know. Always spoils my humor.
I didn't know.
Reveals. Okay, here we go. So fucking stupid. Here we go.
Is this one here?
This is it. Okay. A friend of mine used to be an outgoing person, but now rarely goes out and avoids parties and people at all costs due to crippling paranoia that everyone is secretly a fake motherfucking phony. Any advice for my friend that might help him get over his social anxiety?
Oh my God.
Mitch is shaking his head.
Is it about Mitch?
I thought, is it Mitch? Is it... Oh, okay, it's about Joe.
Wow, I mean...
Mitch has confirmed it's about Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, listen, social anxiety is real. Obviously, we're having a laugh because it's Joe and best of luck.
He performs his depression so funny.
I know. So, Joe, if you're watching this, and you better be, you're so good at being sad. Lean into it, my friend.
Devastating.
Lean into it. You're just, it's effortless.
Not a lot of parties in Canton, Ohio.
What is he fucking talking about?
Where the fuck are you going?
Hey, Alphabet Pizza throws some great Canton, Ohio.
Yeah, yeah, there we go. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, my advice, Joe, is to go to Alphabet Pizza's house. Like, what are you doing? It's right there. It's a mile away. Go there.
Come to Cleveland and see Val. I don't know. Sometimes with Joe, I'm like Joe, like why do you even care? Or I don't, you know what I mean? Like maybe everyone is a phony, but like who fucking gives a shit? You can't let the weight of all the whole world like be on your shoulders. Like, you know what I mean? Who gives a fuck?
That's good advice.
Like it sucks for everybody. Like it's just don't let it all hang on you. You know what I mean? That's really what I think.
But sometimes someone who's being phony, that's really who they are. Yeah. You know, like, and that is authentic.
Yeah.
Jack, just like when we first started on a sketch team together at UCB where you were a writer and I was a performer, you actively hated me and said I was fake and turned the writers against me.
Famously.
Famously. Can you guys believe you did that? We're friends now. It worked out. What did you say?
It's true. Mitch said it's
Mitch
true.
Confirmed.
Mitch is confirmed.
I like
fake.
That Mitch is the fact checker just in the back of the room. It's Joe for sure.
Well, Alana, you were on the sketch team for a long time, and there were no issues with anyone, and we're close friends now. So what's the big deal?
It all worked out. There you go, Joe. You're missing out. You're in your own head, and you're missing out on all these great, wonderful people here. So you know what? All I have to say is...
To be honest, I'll actually get into this for a second, Alana.
Please.
I felt when I met you that you were like one of the UCB people that was never ending doing bits or whatever. And then I actually came to realize that was your real actual personality. And so I like it. I like your real actual personality.
That's what I'm saying.
But I just felt like when I first had you, I was like, man, this person is all the time doing like too many, like doing comedy bits all the time. And I find that irritating with
you
UCB
know what?
People.
No, you were right. It does come across that way. I just naturally have a lot of energy, but you were right, and we all know people like that, and it is very annoying. And
but you're great.
I did
you're great.
Down.
It's your real personality, and it's great. I like
did
it a lot.
Calm
you're
down.
Very funny.
We have real heart to hearts.
We have.
We have them. We're here. And Joe, you're missing out.
Good Lord.
Wow.
Hey. Any audience? Yo, we got one.
Okay, so I am I'm a man with a bald spot in the back of my head. Mm-hmm. Y'all can see it right here. Mm-hmm. Yep. Thank you very much. Yep. Now, because it's in the back of my head, I don't see it all the time. I look in the mirror, I think everything's okay, but at times you get a glimpse of it. And, you know, being photographed from behind, Zoom calls are not great for it because you look over that way and there's a delay. And when I see that, it is an absolute crusher. It kills any momentum I may have had, makes me think about it for a good week or so after. I'm usually a very confident person, but whenever I get a glimpse of it, it just kind of kills it. What's a good way to just rebound from that? Because, yeah.
That's a good question. I have a question for the audience. When this lovely person took their hat off, did anyone care? Mitch, can you confirm if that's a yes or a no? No one cared at all. Thank you, Mitch. No one cared at all. No one cared at all. Anybody else on the panel?
Listen, as with all things, it's about confidence, and there's so many great, good-looking, bald men. I mean, you've got your Captain Picard, you know, like, there are people that are iconically bald, and just like, they, like, you know, it's like, it's just, it's in how, and it's in the confidence you have for yourself, but baldness can be its own type of cool, because it's like, what's cool is to not, like care too much, you know what I mean? So like, it's far cooler to just rock a bald spot than, I don't know, to put a little tiny toupee or something like that. Like, it's cool. Yeah,
but if
just
you want to wear
yourself,
a tiny toupee, like, and that's all great for you.
Why does it have to be tiny?
The bald
get
spot
a full size toupee.
I think it's like, it's hard with like body stuff. I think like you have to figure out what works for you. If you honestly can't handle seeing it, like, and wearing a hat all the time makes you feel better, then fucking wear a hat all the time. Get the sickest hats, like, or like, dude, get eight toupees, like, do whatever you need to do. Like, you don't have to love yourself if you can't get there quite yet. You can find other ways to like help you along until
you
get to that place.
Have you shaved your head before?
Okay, they said they're very scared it's gonna look weird, and we won't know until we try.
Yeah,
we just won't. So should we do it now? Are we about to do this? Are we about to do this?
Anyone got the razor?
Because it's like, if you look at like one of the classically handsome bald men, Bruce Willis, who like rocked it in Die Hard, you know,
the most badass
guy in Die Hard, and you know, now he's gone full Bic, and you know, it kind of works for him. It's like, I don't know, give it a try. Maybe you'll like it. Maybe everyone else will like it.
Report back to the podcast at Self Esteem Party. Thank you. Hashtag I did it? ? And then send the picture. Okay, here we go.
But if you do stop wearing hats, make sure to use some sunscreen, my friend.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to get it burnt up there. You don't.
You don't want skin cancer just on that one spot.
You don't.
All right, that one's kind of fun.
Okay, here we go. This one, I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this. How do I stop negative self-talk that I know is damaging to my self-esteem, but like the stupid bitch that I am can't stop?
Weed. Marijuana and weed.
Wait. I think sometimes an exercise you can do is like either affirmations, like take something that you're feeling negative about yourself and turn it into a statement that's positive and like journal it or whatever, or you know, think of yourself as your own friend and you're defending yourself to yourself. Like would you let someone talk to your best friend like that, the way you talk to yourself? You know, like, stick up for yourself to yourself.
I agree with that.
My best friend sucks. He's friends with me.
Please have a seat. Join us. I would say, and this depends on the time of day, maybe not, if possible, go to bed. End the day. You know what I mean? You'll end the talk if you can end the day as quickly as possible so that you can just start fresh.
Yeah.
And if that means laying down for a quick 10-minute reset or something like that, but like, just try to stop for a second. You're like moving yourself and let it flood. And then you're like, okay, on to the next one.
And sometimes I'm legit being a dumb asshole. You know what I mean? So I do need to go to bed just to like end the day. I like this top one.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I know it's a little too, like, we've been doing too many actory type stuff, but whatever.
It's okay. We're in LA. Okay. What are some good self-esteem boosters whenever someone gets passed over in auditions? This one, as someone who's never really booked anything from an audition but is wildly famous, I could say a good self-esteem booster when you get passed over in an audition, you know, sometimes you don't get a role because you're too short or you didn't have the right jeans on. Or they're like, well, his hair doesn't go with her hair and they have to be married and have matching hair. So it's like, unless like Andy Dick and I want to get married, it's not fucking happening for me. I won't see you.
Dick.
You know what I mean? Like, forget about it. So it's like, I would just say if you get passed over an audition, just be like, great, me and almost everyone else but one other person. You know what I mean? It's like one person got it. I'm not saying it can't be you on the next one, but if it's not you on this one, that's fine. It's somebody else and maybe they've been passed over a million times and they happen to get that one role. So it's like, keep on going.
Wow.
And auditions are worse than performing live, like by far.
Oh, yeah.
They're just, and another thing you got to ask yourself is like, A, what, well, first of all, I don't know this person, so like maybe they're not very good or whatever.
I don't think they are, yeah.
Okay, but like, if you're auditioning for like New Amsterdam or like, you know what I mean? To be a lawyer in the show Bull or whatever, who gives a shit?
Okay, Norm, the person has identified themselves because I left names off. Can you come up here?
Is it really you?
Okay.
I'm
going to
provide
you
with sides.
not to put you on the spot, but I need to know, can you tell me the most recent audition? Oh, you are okay.
Wow, they're chanting act.
Let's see the most or if you can remember the most recent audition you did, what did you do in it if you can remember it and maybe give us a sample.
This would be great.
Or any audition that you can remember.
It was for the Herald team at IO.
Oh, okay. I thought it was TV. Okay, cool. Okay.
Yeah, and well, I felt bad and then they closed down.
Okay. Okay, so this was an improvised audition.
Yeah. Most of mine has been improv. Based.
Okay, and you got passed over and it didn't feel that good.
No.
Okay, let's just see how we can handle this now. So you felt bad. We're gonna do a quick improvised audition right now, and let's see how you feel afterwards.
Just
okay.
Just put him on the spot.
Okay.
It's
here
okay.
We go.
Okay.
Dad, thanks so much for coming into the room I had asked you to come into.
Yeah, you know, you were having that issue.
Booked it. You see what I mean?
Wow.
You see how easy that is? Like I said, on the next one, could be you. Booked it.
That feels good.
There you go.
Give it up for Chris. Booked.
That's how it works. It's that easy. Yeah. It's really that easy. Once you don't get it, once you do.
I have one other piece of advice for anyone who's having trouble with auditions. Just simply email your agent and tell them your offer only. You know, just tell your agent your offer only. So,
yeah,
they get really mad when you do it, but boy, what a power move.
I mean, also, yeah, you know, maybe IO would have stayed open if they booked you. You know. Also, like,
I agree.
You don't need to respect Charna's opinions. Isn't she, like, terrible?
Okay, this is one. This will be a little quick one. We can each toss out a little idea here. What are your, and we already said some of these, what are your tricks and tips for snapping and shifting out of a low self-esteem funk? So maybe this question's more about, like, the immediacy of being able to do it. So, you know, like, I would say laughing. If you can text something funny to someone or someone that you know always sends you funny texts, reach out, whatever. But if you or think of something if you can or watch America's Funniest Home Videos, you know, the kids falling. So if you can have a bit of a laugh, it usually instantly will boost you even just the smallest amount. That would be mine.
I like ordering food. Like, immediately being like, yeah, fuck it. I'm going to order a burger. You know, I don't give a shit about this.
Oh, my God. Rebel and embrace. I love it.
But like, you know, something like... You know what I mean, though? Like, treating yourself even though you probably don't deserve it.
Like,
you know
we're doing this weekend.
Yeah.
At BugCon.
Like, that's whenever I feel, like, low or something's really fucking bugging me, I'm just like, yeah, fuck it. I'm going to order something that I want to eat.
Okay. Jack?
I simply don't. I live in it for weeks and weeks on end. And it's fucking miserable, to be honest with you. But I'm listening very intently to the advice being given.
Okay, Kate?
If you're crying, take a selfie because crying selfies are so funny. and then text it to me because I love to collect people's crying selfies. Like, if you want to DM me your crying selfies, like, I'll tell you, you look hot crying. Because, like, people do look hot crying.
Kate, real quick for the listeners, tell us your handle so we can DM you.
At Kate Raft, please. DM me your crying selfies.
It's that
crying
easy.
I have, like, three friends who consistently for years have texted me they're crying selfies.
I feel bad for those friends. Are they okay?
No. No.
3 years.
No one's okay.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. What role do rituals and routines, positive or negative, play in your life, and how do those enhance or detract from feeling your best? I would say for me, routine plays a huge part in my self-esteem because it gives me a sense of accomplishment if I can complete a task or several tasks. So I would say that's a positive thing, but it's negative in the sense that if I'm off that routine, I feel terrible. So it's a very dependent and stressful in that way.
Yeah, I like to journal every morning, 3 pages and just stream of conscious. But when I don't do it, I'm like so like discombobulated. And I usually do it like every day. I haven't done it for the past month and I'm not feeling great. So I got to get back in my routine. Yeah. Also skincare routine, you know, I had really bad acne and like once I finally got like my skincare routine figured out, it did a lot for just like my hygiene, which helped my mental health. Cause like it sucks when you have like, when you don't feel good about yourself.
It's all self-care.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Is self-care. Yeah.
Guys, splash some water on your face.
Splash some water. Get some, just some gentle soap, you know.
Get some soap on there, please.
Get some gentle soap. Get some Tretinoin. That's the Retin A prescription, if you can get that.
Yeah,
it's That's expensive. It's expensive.
I need to get outside, usually.
Okay.
Exercise, hiking and stuff. Whenever I don't do it for a few days, I'm like, oh, God, like, what's wrong? And, but yeah, you know, I used to hike a lot. Remember that? Actually, we went on a hike together, right? No, Kate, you weren't there.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, a long time ago.
You know, and when I first moved here too, I had like nothing going on, and I like LA really sucked, and I was like, man, this is terrible. And then I started like running and hiking, and then like just hiking to the top of at Griffith Park, I like at least had that sense of accomplishment, and I was like, well, at least I did that today. And then I go home and just sit around in the dark.
Okay. I don't know about... This is why we need separate places. Yeah. I like the lights on.
I like a dark room.
Okay. Yeah, Jack?
I mean, listen, I'm someone who has consigned myself to a routine where I wake up at 5 in the morning every single day to do a show that nobody asked me to do, you know, out of my apartment. So I'm very much a creature of routine. And
does it help you to feel good about
it? It does. Well, certainly to have, you know, a collection of people in a chat room sometimes agreeing with me or saying the phrase LOL or whatever. very much the show it helps me to, you know, stay happy. And that routine's very important to me.
Okay, so there you go. Routine matters. Okay, wait. Any last audience ones, advice or questions you have? Yes, come on up to the mic.
Great shirt.
First off, thank you guys for being here. This is pretty awesome. Cool. And this is very, very interesting. And everybody else here at BugCon today, and this whole weekend entirely has been really, really fun. And I just want to say this is great. So along the lines of routine, I have this problem where it's a condition called fucked up brain, where things don't really work sometimes. and I've actually been diagnosed with bipolar, and that was like a new, interesting revelation to understand. Okay, the entirety of my life has been like ups and downs, and it's been really, really ridiculous. And with the last few years, especially the last few months, has been like, okay, let's get into these routines to keep these things sort of level and stable and have things work out. And especially being an artist, it's like really tough to be trying to produce and not getting where you want to get to. And with this routine, you know, the failure of these routines always gets me down. And it's like, you know, I can only tell myself so often, like, you know, it might be not your fault because of so many other things that are going on. How do you deal with that kind of failure of the routines and being sometimes like bedridden from depression and stuff, and just being able to roll with the punches in a way? Like how I guess it's kind of really overarching and kind of abstract, I guess, but like
no, but it's a good question. Yeah, it's like a whole
lot of stuff.
Yeah. Failure on the routines.
Couple things. One, I'm also bipolar, and congratulations. Welcome. I'll say this. This might not be the best advice. For me, with failure within routine, manage my expectations.
Yeah.
So instead of waking up and being like, I'm doing 10 things today, why don't I start with one? And maybe that one thing is waking up. Mm-hmm. And it was like, that was something I had to learn in years and years of therapy and with my psychiatrist and everything. It's like, it's not lower the bar. It's just manage your expectations. Mm-hmm. Be realistic, because then you're setting yourself up to fail every day. And why would you do that? Like, one of my weekly tasks for my therapist was to sit outside for 5 minutes a day. Okay, I did it. And look at me now. I'm in the Marriott. But yeah, Jeff?
I mean, I was going to piggyback on what you said. I agree with you. And, you know, what I was going to say is sort of similarly was, you know, strip back. You're saying, what? How do you get out of, like, staying in bed depressed all day? And to my honest advice would be to that is, like, strip it back to what is, like, actually necessary. Like, what are the core most necessary things that absolutely need to be accomplished that day? And then, frankly, allow yourself the rest of the day to be in bed. You know what I mean? Like, if you have, like, obligations and everything, like, get an obligation done. Like, strip back to just the core elements of what need to be accomplished, and then allow yourself that time to cocoon up and you know, restore yourself to face the world again.
I love that.
I love that.
And a lot of times you wake up in the morning and you see all of the tasks or whatever you've created for yourself as one big problem. Mm-hmm. And usually individual tasks usually take like 15 minutes, you know, like,
yeah.
But when you see the collective of it, it seems like a ton, right? You don't have to finish, you know, and if it's late, like, I always, like, when you think about, like, submitting something, school did this all the time, right? You can't be late with your... Fuck, that's so stupid, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's so dumb. Like, you want it done? Like, anyway. But like,
ooh, Norm's the bad boy of the podcast.
I fucking
school sucks.
Skip it. I dropped out of math or whatever.
Parents too, dude.
But like, you know, I usually like try to focus, yeah, on one thing that's even simple just to get mm-hmm. that done. And it, maybe that gets the ball rolling. Sometimes I like just go to like, oh, you know what? I really should respond to this person's email that was to read their script, whatever. And then I'm like, wait a minute. We have our fridge isn't really working right now. Like our freezer is like getting too cold.
It's a nightmare.
And then our fridge is not getting like cold enough. And it's annoying as fucking hell.
I want my own place just for the fridge. I want a working fridge.
I make it a big problem, but it takes 20 minutes to fix. You know,
yeah.
You take everything out, 2 hours it thought, you put it back in, and I don't worry about it. But like, I will dwell on it for some reason.
Yeah.
Most things are like 15 minutes, I think.
Speaking of completing tasks, we are done here.
Oh, really?
And
you
so
really
wow.
Did.
Have,
wow.
I would like to thank Kate and Jack for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank
Producer
you. This
slash
was fun.
Husband slash roommate,
thanks,
Norm
everyone.
Sousa. Thank you to BugCon and everybody running the event. Thank you to you guys. I've been Alana Johnson, and this is the Self-Esteem Party.
Thanks for your questions, everyone.
Believe in yourself. Believe in your body. Rock, rock, rock. It's the Self-Esteem Party.